First Samuel, the book of First Samuel. What does the gospel of Christ mean to you? Now, Christ is the gospel, and the gospel is Christ. So when I say gospel, I mean the story of the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ crucified. Christ our Lord and Savior. All that He is and all that He did for us and is for us. Christ is the gospel. The gospel is Christ. And the preaching of the gospel, the hearing of the gospel, is merely telling about and hearing about Christ. What does the gospel mean to you? What's it worth? Now, this is just a fact. Christ is either all or He's not. Our Lord said this: He that loveth father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. He that loveth son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me, is not worthy of Me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for My sake shall find it. I just told you the whole meaning of this story. If you didn't know, you now know. Two old milk cows and a cart, but they have a heavy burden. They have a heavy burden. The ark of God here in this story is the key. Like Wednesday night, the ship. The ark of God here in this story is the whole key. If you go back to, you're in chapter 3, this is the first mention in 1 Samuel of the ark. In verse 3, 1 Samuel 3:3 says, "The lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." There was a tent. The tabernacle was set up in Shiloh. Shiloh was where Joshua set up the tabernacle. There's no permanent temple right now. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, was. It says, verse 3, "The lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was," where Samuel was ministering before the Lord. So that's where it was. That's where it was. Now, this Ark of God. Now go back with me to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25. And if I'm not careful, we'll spend our whole time here, because I did in my study. I started studying this ark and I couldn't quit. It was such a blessing. The ark is not a thing. Although it was a box, a man-made box, it represented a person. See, salvation is not in a thing or a place. It's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord plainly tells us not to use symbols, any symbol at all in worship. Don't do it, He said. The only thing, bread and wine, is the only symbol, and that represents Christ. But you eat that and it's gone. So you can't worship it, can you? And that's why I said that. Don't use anything, because you'll end up worshiping it. You'll think it's something. You'll think, if I have this thing, it will keep me from evil. That's exactly what Israel did. And it didn't. It killed them. But Exodus 25, the ark is spoken of throughout these chapters given to Moses by the Lord, the ark. The ark of God was a wooden box. Now look at it, verse 10. They shall make an ark of shittim wood. Now that wood is like our locust. It's impervious, or cedar. It's impervious to decay. Make this box out of shittim wood. It will not decay. It will last indefinitely. This ark now represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man. He was made a body. A body hast thou prepared me, he said. He was made flesh, bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh, but without sin. No decay. He would not die of natural causes. Can't. There's no sin. This represents the humanity of our Lord. A man. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, but much more. And it gives the dimensions of it. Verse 11, overlay it with pure gold. Cover it with gold. Now, gold is a God-given thing. You just dig it. You don't alter it. You burn away the dross, but it's there. Gold is brilliant, isn't it? Gold is lustrous, isn't it? Gold is hard, isn't it? Hard, isn't it? Hard. Gold will last forever. That's His deity. He's God-man. The ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this represents. If you noticed with me, every time it refers to the ark, it doesn't just say the ark, a box. Never. Always says the ark of God, ark of the Lord, ark of the covenant, ark of the Lord of hosts. Very reverent, fearful, honoring terms. Ark of God. It's not just a box. This is the receptacle, the container, the vessel where God is. And that man that walked this planet is not just a man. That's the ark of God. Ark means a coffin, a coffer. Ark means a receptacle. It means a vessel. In that ark was hidden something. Inside that ark was hidden something that the man's natural view. What was it? Anybody know? The covenant, the Word, God's written Word. All the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge was written down and put in a book and put in that ark. If you could open up and see inside, you would see the greatest treasure known to man, God's Word. Are you with me? And I ain't talking about a thing. I'm talking about Christ. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and the mind of God, the will of God, the purposes of God, the promise of God, the wisdom and knowledge, the glory of God, the way to God was that ark. It's not a thing, though. It's a person. The truth of God was in it, the way to God, the way to worship God. And in Christ are hidden of the world, but revealed to His people. Most of you knew what this ark was before I started telling you. You could have stood up and told, our children could have stood up. I asked them and they could have stood up. Wesley, your young children could have stood up and said what seminary professors do not know. If I'd asked them what that ark was, they would have said, Jesus Christ. In Christ are hid all these treasures. Well, look at verse 17. On that ark, and here I'm doing it. Verse 17. Make a mercy seat of pure gold. A mercy seat. Oh, John, let's dwell here a few years. This is where God dwells. This is where God said, I'll meet with you. Verse 22. I'll meet with you there on the mercy seat. Verse 20 says, cherubims were made, and they hovered over the mercy seat. They covered the mercy seat and with their wings, and their faces looked toward one another. God said, make these two angels, these two cherubs, attach them to that ark, and have them both looking with their wings touching each other and looking at one another down upon as if looking into, beholding and amazed by this mercy seat. Peter wrote about this glorious gospel of our God. He said, this gospel is the things which angels desire to look into. You want to know why we preach the gospel every time? If you don't know, you must not know the gospel. He said, which things angels desire to look into. Gird up your loins, he said. This mercy seat was a covering. This mercy seat was a lid that covered what was in there. The law, the covenant, the word of God. You remember when Moses came down from the mountain and the people had already broke it. Before it was written, they were already breaking it. And he came down and saw they were all naked and exposed and breaking the law. And Moses, what did he do with those first tables? What did he do with them? Threw them down on the ground and broke them all. Broke it to show you've broken every one of these before they were even written. Before there was a law. Man broke it. From the garden till now. Broken. And God said, write another set of tables. Don't let anything happen to it. Make it complete. And put it in that ark and put a lid on it so it'll never be broken. The unbroken law kept safe in that ark. That's Christ. You're complete in Him. He kept the law. He's our law keeper. And He says, put a lid on this. Shut it up with this mercy seat. And this mercy seat was the place where all of the animal sacrifices, all the blood from bullocks and goats and lambs and turtle doves, they would take the blood of these innocent sacrifices. The people weren't innocent. Poor people bring turtle dove, some bring a lamb, and they take this blood, and the high priest, one man, would go into the Holy of Holies where this ark was, beneath the veil, and pour out this blood on the mercy seat. What's he doing? What's this all about? Well, he's taking the death, and that blood is a clear sign that that animal died. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The soul that sins shall surely die. And the only way your soul can pay for what it's done is to die. Unless somebody does it for you. Substitute. And to take this blood of a substitute and pour it out and cover that mercy seat. And it would run down and cover that whole bar. So it's all covered. It's all atoned for. Propitiation. Expiation. It's done away. You can't. They broke the law, but no, it's complete, it's covered, it's paid for, it's atoned for. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree for His people. He kept the law, righteousness imputed. He died as our sin payment, our punishment, not an offer. He obtained eternal redemption for His people. He is the mercy seat. Christ is the mercy seat. All right, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I thought about this. Why do they call it a seat? Nobody ever sat on it. You ever thought about that? Why do they call it a seat? Seat also means a place where everything meets. And our Lord said, this is where I'm going to meet you. And I tell you, who did sit on it and rest? God did. Christ did. Sat on it. His work's finished. He's our rest. So this ark, it says, the lamp went out in the temple where the ark of God was. The lamp went out. And you know what the gospel is called? It's called the light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glorious gospel of the blessed God. It's called, Paul said, I'm separated unto the gospel of God. He called it the gospel of Christ. He called it the gospel of the blessed God. People all over talk about gospel this and gospel that. That's the gospel truth. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that about anything. There's one gospel. And it's the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Don't ever use that term lightly, gospel. But it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God as seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the lamp went out. What's that? That's the Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light. The light of the knowledge, the glory of God. Where? The gospel. Christ. The lamp went out. There were two fellows, Eli's sons. They were crooked, wicked fellows. All they thought about was their belly and so forth. They were crooked, wicked fellows, and they were supposed to keep the lamp burning. Eli is to bring the sacrifices and pour the blood on the mercy seat. And these common priests, Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, were to keep the lamp going, keep oil for the lamp. It went out. What's that tell you? That's what's happened today, people. We've got a bunch of corrupt fellas not preaching the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the Ark. This whole thing's about the Ark. God killed 1,600 people altogether because of that ark. It's all about this ark, what they were doing with it, what they're not doing with it, toying with it, playing with it, acting like it was, you know, acting like they believed in it. They didn't. God killed 80. God did. And they all wondered, why is all this trouble happening to us? All these hemorrhoids. That's what hemorrhoids were. Mice in the land, all these troubles that infect us, we're all, the whole land is full of all these troubles. It's because of what you've done with the gospel. Now, I'm telling you the truth there. If you've never seen this, this is enlightening. Chapter 4. Now, look at chapter 4 with me. A lamp went out. People were in another dark ages. And more Bibles, but less truth. More Bibles, less men preaching. More preachers, but less men preaching the Scripture, Word of God. And if they're not, they may be preaching the Bible, but if they're not preaching the gospel of Christ, they're not preaching. What you'll find about every single preacher of God, every time he stands up, he says, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's all about the ark. It's not a thing to be messed with. This is our life. This is the way to God. This is the way we're accepted. This is the way God will atone for our sins. We got to hear this. Us and our children, we got to know. Chapter 4. You know what the last plague in Egypt was before the Lord slew all the firstborn and brought His people out? Anybody know what the last plague is before He slew the firstborn and brought His people out? Somebody. Darkness. See, it was so thick you could feel it. Can you not feel it? It's palpable. It means you can feel it. It's so, we're in such a dark time. Romans 1, I was going to read all that he talked about. They weren't thankful. Didn't give God the glory, changed the truth of God into a lie, and their understanding was darkened. And they became filled with all sorts. God gave them over. And now, that's our society. You can feel it. It says they couldn't even see each other. We're so polluted and vile, can't see it. Can't even see it. Darkness. Literally, young people wear what? Dark clothing. Skull and crossbones all over. Is this funny? dark. Why?
Because of the gospel.
And we got it in this land, but people are toying with it and mixing it with false religion. Chapter 4, the people of Israel got in trouble. The Philistines were after them. Verse 3, the elders of the people of Israel said, "Why has the Lord allowed us to be smitten of the Philistine? Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistine? Let's fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemy." Let's get it and bring it here. And we'll set it down, and it will deliver us. Anybody, you hear anybody saying, "Lord, save us"? You hear any of these Israelites? These are supposed to be the people of God. Worship Jehovah. The blood. Apparently, no, they're not. Eli's not making a blood atonement anymore. Lamp's out. And they said, "Oh, let's get it. We're in trouble. Let's get it. And it will save us." We're not saved by corruptible things, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By a person. And they got in trouble. The gospel is not a thing to save us. And the gospel is not something that you toy with and something you only use when you get in trouble. Christ is life to His people. We don't order our lives, order our worship around our lives. We order our lives around worship. It's a communion, it's a union, it's a knowledge of a person, a fellowship with a person. It's a unity. It's a husband and wife relationship. It's a father and a child relationship. And it's constant. It's not a thing. It's a person. And verse 10 says that Philistines fought Israel and smote them and every man to his tent, and there fell 30,000 footmen. And later on, when that ark came to Beth Shemesh, you read it with me. Those people had it, and they began toying with it, and opened the lid, and God killed 50,700. That's 80,700 people from messing with this ark. And this is a real story. And it's not superstition. It's the truth. It all has to do with how men and women treat the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God killed them. What was it? Swords. Sword. Scripture says that swords are God's sword. God said, "I kill. Anybody dies, I do it. And the judge of the earth does right. And whoever got it, had it coming." So what about kids? They just took them to glory. Wasn't that merciful? But the judge of the earth does right. And he said, "Men are my sword." That's what God said. And he killed them. He used me, but God killed them. Why? Because of the gospel. Now, Eli, the old priest here, when the ark was taken, verse 11 of chapter 4, verse 14. Eli heard the noise. They took the ark. The Philistines took the ark away. And a man came to Eli and told him. Now Eli was 90 years old. Verse 15. He was 90 years old. Chapter 4. His eyes were dim. He couldn't see. The man came to him. Verse 16 and said, Eli said, "What is it? What's done?" And they said in verse 17 to him, they said, "It's a great slaughter among the people. Your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead." Now, you know he loved his sons. And they said, "The ark of God's taken." And verse 18 says, "When it came to pass, when they made mention of the ark of God, he fell backward, broke his neck, and he died. Verse 13 is what I wanted to read also. It says he trembled. His heart trembled for the ark of God. See that? Came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside, watching. His heart trembled for the ark of God. When they took the ark of God, his heart trembled for the ark of God. Do you tremble when you hear what the modern world is doing to this gospel? I'm asking you the truth, man. Examine your heart. Do you tremble when you hear what this world is doing to God's gospel? That's why this story is written. If you don't, you don't know the gospel. If you think modern Christianity is Christianity, you must not know the gospel. Mindy and I were Christmas shopping the other day, and we were in TJ Maxx. I do it all there, and it takes me about an hour. But anyway, I was looking through there. There's a book of jokes. You know, I like a good joke as well as the next man. You know, good clean joke. I picked up this book of jokes, okay? I started reading. That's cute. That's funny. It made me laugh. No. And in there, somebody wrote a joke about Jesus Christ. In the middle of his blessed name, Jesus, I don't even want to say it. I curse Jesus blank Christ. And it smote me. It's like a knife stuck in my throat. Does that do that to you? And this is a result of false religion. You know that? False preachers getting up. No fear of God. God's not holy. He's not going to punish anybody. Jesus loves you. It's okay. Say what you want about Him. Do what you want with the gospel. Take God's name in vain, even little children. It doesn't matter. God loves you. And they're dropping like flies. People are dropping like flies daily. Why? Because of what they're doing to God's truth. And if that doesn't smite you, it was worse than if my mother's name was there. If my dad's name there, Wesley, and they said used his name, it wouldn't have been as bad. But my Lord Jesus Christ. Does that not smite you? Do you tremble at the thought of losing this gospel? Many cities have had the gospel and it's gone. He was trembling. Literally, to this man will I look, he that is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. Lord, don't take this gospel from us, please. I'm not just shouting and preaching. This is life. And people are dying left and right because of what they're doing to God's truth. It's a holy thing. It's a righteous thing. It's our life. It's supposed to be bloodshed. It's supposed to be the worship of God. And they took it and mixed it with their Dagon. Remember that story? They put it in there with Dagon. All right. Let's get to these two cows. Chapter 6. I can't shout this loud enough. I can't make this serious enough, people, because we're in a dark days. We're in a dead time. We're in a place where people are toying with God. They're toying with God's gospel, and God is angry. And they don't see it. It's so dark they can't see themselves. They can't see what's happening. We look at mass killings. People, I'm not callous to that at all. You know, I'm not callous to that at all, but people are dying. There's about, what was it, five people a second. 5 people a second are dying of something.
Who's killing them?
That's it. Now, cows. It takes one. The man that comes out to bring a cow to the slaughter and take it, and they might look up, and they keep chewing, looking down. God smote them, it said there, with the afflictions in their secret parts. Men and women are full of. Romans 3 talks about being full of these things. Well, the Philistines wanted to get rid of this ark. They thought if we just get rid of this ark, this is the whole problem with our society. We're having all these troubles. And they acknowledged that this ark, there's something to it. They heard about the Egyptians, and they heard about what happened to the Egyptians and what God did. And had they not all heard? Yeah, so they thought, well, we've got our Dagon, we've got our religion, and there's something to this ark. And they had it mixed together, Dan. They had it mixed together. They didn't see why Dagon fell over and God knocked his head off. It's a fish, by the way. Dagon was a fish god. But they said, well, there's something to this. Well, let's do this. Let's put images. We just get rid of... Try to get rid of these things that are plaguing us. And get rid of this ark. And let's offer some appeasement to this God that's doing this to us. And people mix religion, mix all sorts of traditions and superstitions and anything they can come up with, if so perverted and twisted the truth of God and mixed it with the truth so that it doesn't even resemble the truth. People, there's one way to worship God. There's one peace offering. There's one burnt offering. There's one trespass offering. What is it? Blood. And they had this ark, and none of them bothered to say, what is this ark? Not one single Philistine said, what? None understand. None sought God. Not one single person said, wait a minute. What is it about this ark? You with me? Not one of them said, why is this ark? Why have they put this blood on? What's that all about? Not one. But they said, if we could just get rid of this ark, and people, our modern world thinks religion is the problem with mankind. And I'm here to tell you, they're right. They're right. False religion is the problem. It is the source of all the problem. It sure is. True religion is not. The gospel of Christ is not. But men and women think if we can just get rid of God, get rid of the law, get rid of this all this talk about Jesus and heaven. You know, let's imagine there's no heaven. No hell. Let's just love each other, right? That'll work. Yeah. Get rid of all this. Isn't that what men do? If we can just get rid of religion, our society... This is the whole problem with our society. Religion, they say. And I'm here to tell you that's half true. I thought about this. Why didn't they just try to destroy it? Stan? Why didn't they just try to destroy it? Let's just blow this thing up.
You can't. They couldn't do it. If they tried, they couldn't get rid of it.
Men have tried to get rid of this gospel. They've wanted it gone for years through the dark age. Let's put away this word. Let's see that nobody can have one of God's word. You can't do that. Why? The one that wrote it. Write another copy. They did this all down through the years. Men would translate it and men would burn it and they'd just do it again. They'd just do it again. Until finally, Stan, it was written on the tables of people's hearts. And you take it away from them. But you can't. It's right here. Been planted. Well, they said, let's make a cart. Here, we'll get rid of it. Let's make a cart. Verse 7, the Philistines, where am I? I'm in the wrong chapter. Yeah. Chapter 6, verse 7. Let's make a new cart and take two milk cows on which has come no yoke, and tie that the cows to that cart. Bring their calves, take their calves away from them. These are milking, nursing calves, young, newborn calves, nursing. And y'all, some people in here know something about cows and calves. Margaret back there is an old milkmaid. You know that. She knows all about milking cow. But they took these calves away from these two cows, and they put on that cart this ark. And it says that there's no yoke had ever been on these cows. They'd never pulled a cart. They'd never pulled a plow. And these were two poor old mothers, homebound. Their life was wrapped up in their babies. And they put this ark on that cart and bound them to it. No yoke, no man leading them. And they said, go. Are you with me? Said, tie these cows to that cart, bind these mothers to that cart, bind them with cords to that cart, bring their calves, their babies home from them. Take their babies away, their love, their life. The thing they live for, can't live without, and put that ark on that cart, lay this burden on this cart with these two mothers pulling it, send them away. And he said in verse 9, they said, if it goes up to the coast where God's people are, if they go straight up to where God's people are, God did this. This is the hand of God. If they come home to their babies, nothing to it. Ain't nothing to it. Do you understand the story? I started out this message by saying, what does the gospel mean to you? If any man love son or daughter more than me, and so they did this. They did so. Verse 10, they took these two old milk cows and tied them to the cart, shut up their calves at home. They laid the ark upon that cart. And the kine, verse 12, those cows, Jeanette, you're with me. Those cows left their babies and went straight to where God's people were. And it says in verse 12, it says they were lowing as they went. You've heard cows, haven't you, lowing for their babies. We've had a few horses give birth and had to wean them from their mothers. It's heart-rending. Isn't it? It's heart-rending, isn't it? To hear them low. Oh, they're calling for their babies, but they're not turning around. They're weeping for themselves and their children, but they're not turning around. My mother, my father, my husband, or my wife doesn't love this gospel. They don't believe this gospel. There's only one gospel. And it's that ark. There is no other gospel. I mean, plain and simple, it's the blood or it's nothing. And my son or my daughter don't love this gospel. But give me Christ or I die. And with great sorrow, come with us. Lowing, come with us. The ox knows his owner, and an old milk cow knows where the crib is. And you know where you'll find them? At the crib. at the crib. Oh, my. You know, I thought about this. This box, this ark, it had so many sacrifices made on Deborah. It was brown. You keep pouring blood over something, and it was that mercy seat was sealed. You couldn't get it up. And it had so much blood poured all over it till finally, after all that blood of all those animals poured over it, it looked just brown. Covered. There was nothing, you couldn't see any gold. It was covered by the blood. It just looked brown, like kind of like badger skin. All right, they had it on this cart, and here are these two cows. Nobody leading them. Yes, somebody's leading them. God is. They're leaving their young. Heading where they don't know, but they've got to go. Straight on. Listening to their father's master's voice. And they're pulling this heavy burden and lowing as they go. And people on the wayside, this was about 50, 60 mile trip. And people on the wayside watching this happen. Where are they going? Why are they leaving their young? What's the big deal about that brown box? What is all this? Well, they came to Beth Shemesh in verse 13. Those people were, verse 12, they went straight to Beth Shemesh where God's people were threshing wheat. And they saw it, verse 13. They saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. They came to that field. And when those two cows got to that place, how'd they know where to stop? There was a big old stone there. And they came to that very place right there where that stone was, and they just stopped in their tracks. Traveling all that way. They thought, we're here. We're here. We're where we're supposed to be. God's people. And the people that love the ark. The ark of the covenant. The ark of God. People that were waiting on it needed to hear about the blood atonement. It's here. It's just here. The Lord, gospel's come to us. And they got it down and put it on a loft to put it on that stone. And look what happened to the cows. Verse 14, they clave the wood of the cart, chopped it up, and they sacrificed those two old cows. Those two old cows lost their life for that ark. What a way to die. What a way to die. Over in Hebrews 11, let me tell you this in closing. It talks about all of the people who went through so much. It says women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And I started to read you an account from Fox's Book of Martyrs over a mother getting ready to be burned at the stake.
Robin with her children standing there. And they say, if you'll just recant. She said, I can't do it. Can't do it.
What do you reckon the Lord do for somebody like that, huh? Die for His cause, huh? What do you think? Huh. Women were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, bonds, imprisonment, stones sawn asunder, tempted, slain with a sword, wandering about. The world was not worthy of them. Oh, but they obtained a good report. Went on into glory. These two old cows. What does the gospel mean to you? It's all or nothing. Christ is all. Nothing at all. And you say, I know what you're thinking. Well, I don't know what I would do if faced with that choice. Well, some of you have made that choice. Family and friends or the world or the gospel. Some of you have made that choice. You've been faced with that already. Right? And you will yet be faced with that, I believe. And if it came time, real persecution for the truth. I know if you belong to Him, I know what you do. I know what you do. You say, give me Christ or I die. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Lay down your life for Christ. He did. He did. All right, John, let's sing a closing hymn.